Isaiah 48, verse 17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Hallelujah. God, it says, Scripture here says, God teaches us to profit, so it must be His will for us to profit. Now we've been, this is I think the fourth message in our series here, The Pathway to Prosperity. And so we're just reiterating what we've said up until this point. So bear with me if you've been here already. Hopefully you won't mind being reminded. But I know some of us haven't been here in these sessions, and so we're going to catch you up in this. So God teaches us to profit, so it must be His will that we profit. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, the word profit, it means to ascend. In the Hebrew, it means to ascend or to rise up. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It also means to be able. So God wants you to ascend. He wants you to increase.
Yes.
And say, in what way? Well, in every way. Spiritually, financially. Amen? In every way. God wants you to ascend. He wants you to increase. Praise God. And He wants you to be able. God wants you to be able. I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit or teaches you how to be able. He wants you to be able. Be able for what? Well, you ever told your family this? Well, we're just not able to do that right now. Or we're not able to afford that right now. Well, God wants you to be able.
Amen.
He wants you to be able to provide for your household. He wants you to be able to bless the kingdom of God and build the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, He teaches us to profit. When He says He teaches us to profit, He's talking about His Word there. God teaches us through His Word. And He leads us by the way that He should go. That's His Holy Spirit. So when we follow the Word of God, and when we follow the Holy Spirit, those are the two keys. Those are the two main keys in profiting, in increasing, in being blessed. He teaches us to profit. He leads us by the way that we should go. Hallelujah. And so we follow His Word and we follow His Spirit. Now, following His Word means obeying the principles of His Word. When we talk about following the Word of God, we're talking about obeying the principles that God has set forth in His Word. And one of the greatest ways to do this, one of the best ways to do this, is to follow the wisdom of God. I want you to look with me at 1 Kings chapter 13. No, excuse me. I said 13. I have messed this up, Amy. It's chapter 3. Really? Okay. It is chapter 3. I put 13. She's got 1 Kings 13, which I have no idea what that says. So it might not be on the screen, but I hope you brought your Bible.
Yes.
And that's why you should bring your Bible, because sometimes Pastor writes the wrong scripture down for the people to load into the computer, okay? So it's chapter 3. It's chapter 3, verse 5. And my notes say 13, so I know I've given her the wrong thing. But chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Well, look at that. She's good.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask, what shall I give you? Now, Solomon has just become the king of Israel here. And so he's this newly crowned, newly anointed king, King Solomon. You know, David was his father. So Solomon has become king. And Solomon's at a place called Gibeon. And he goes to sleep. And he has a dream. And God appears to him. The Lord appears to him in the dream. So catch this. Everybody look this way and listen real careful. I don't want you to miss this, as this is real important as we get started here. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? What if you had a dream like that, and what if the Lord appeared to you, and He said, just ask anything you want? Hey, this is better than a genie coming out of a bottle, isn't it?
Amen?
Amen? Have you seen that the commercial where the genie,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the genie comes out, and the guy says, I want whatever, I want a million bucks,
yeah,
you know, and the... And the genie, there's a million male deer that appear, you know. So this is better than a genie out of the bottle. This is the Lord Himself appearing to Solomon in a dream. And He says, ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. He says, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. How many of you know that Solomon probably had a lot on the ball? If we would look at him, we'd probably say, hey, this guy knows what's going on. But he also had true humility, at least at this point in his life, didn't he? He said, I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Amen. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11, then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there shall not be anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And, everybody say and. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Well, Solomon hit the jackpot here, didn't he? Now, Solomon, why did he do that? Because he asked for wisdom. Solomon actually got more than he asked for. In verse 9, it says, give to your servant an understanding heart. He's asking for wisdom. He's asking for wisdom. He says, give me an understanding heart. In the margin of my Bible, there's where it says understanding, there's a number by it. And I look in the margin, it says literally hearing. Give to your servant a hearing heart. Wow. Give to your servant a hearing heart. That'd be a good prayer for you and me to pray, wouldn't it? Lord, give to me a hearing heart. The Message Bible says it this way. Look at this in verse 9 out of the Message. Here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart. Look at that. Give me a God-listening heart so I can lead your people well. Hallelujah. That'd be a good prayer for all of us to pray. Lord, give me a God-listening heart. Give me a heart that listens to you. Give me a heart that can hear you. Amen. Give me a God-listening heart. God's Word translation says it this way. Give me a heart that listens so that I can judge your people and tell the difference between good and evil. Now again, look at verse 10. It says, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. How would you like for it to be said about you and recorded in heaven? The thing that Hallie asked pleased the Lord. The thing that Jay asked pleased the Lord. Well, we can't con God. We can't say, well, I really want this over here, but I'm going to ask God for this over here because I think it might impress him more. No, we have to be honest with God, don't we? Solomon was honest that day. Solomon genuinely wanted wisdom. Amen. But along with wisdom, God said, you're going to get all this other stuff as well. See, when we put the wisdom of God first, prosperity also comes along with it. So we're talking about in this series, we're talking about wisdom to prosper. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Now, you know, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, didn't he? And so the book of Proverbs that Solomon wrote is a revelation and an unveiling of all that wisdom that God put in his heart. Now, that's why you ought to study Proverbs. Amen. That's why you ought to read the book of Proverbs, because it's a revelation of all that wisdom that God put into his heart after Solomon prayed that prayer that day. He says, give me wisdom. And God said, all right, I'm granting you wisdom and understanding. And so Solomon shared that with all of us in the book of Proverbs. Amen. Amen. Look at what he says in Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 3, he talks about the value of wisdom. The value of wisdom. Look at chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse, if I can get to Proverbs 3. We'll start reading in verse number 13. Proverbs 3:13. He says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. So when you find this wisdom, it's going to make you happy. There's a lot of stuff that we think will make us happy, and once we get it, we think, is that it? You mean that was it? I really thought this was going to do it. Now that I've got it, it's like, well, that's nice, but I thought it was going to make me happy. No, he said, here's what's going to make you happy. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. So instead of pursuing length of days, instead of pursuing that, instead of pursuing riches and honor, pursue wisdom and you'll get all that too. Amen? Are you getting this? Hallelujah. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Hallelujah. And that's the sad thing. Solomon didn't retain the wisdom, unfortunately. And so, but as he was writing this, he was walking in that wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the wisdom that God gave. Now, the wisdom that we're speaking of here, of course, is the wisdom of God. Or as James calls it in the book of James, the wisdom that is from above. You know, there's two kinds of wisdom. Paul talks about the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of this world. James calls it the wisdom that is from beneath. He defines it as earthly, sensual, and demonic. Confusion and every evil work are the fruit of that kind of wisdom. But the wisdom that's from above, James says, is pure and peaceable and full of mercy and good fruit.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the kind of wisdom that we're talking about. We're talking about the wisdom of God. Well, how does it start? Where does it come from? Proverbs chapter 9, Solomon wrote this to tell us where this wisdom comes from. In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in order for your heart to come open to this wisdom and to be able to obtain this wisdom, you have to, number one, you have to have the fear of the Lord. You have to honor and reverence and respect the Lord. People that have no respect or reverence or honor for the Lord can never tap into this wisdom. They isolate themselves from it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you don't know God, you don't know nothing. Amen. And if my mother were here, she would correct me for my English right there. Amen. But that's true, isn't it? Amen. True wisdom, you know, the wisdom of this world is coming to nothing, Paul said. Amen. But the wisdom of God is what we're after. And it begins with the fear of the Lord. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 8, we actually find this wisdom speaking to Solomon. Do you know that wisdom speaks? Amen. This wisdom is actually, and Solomon recording here in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is talking to him. Wisdom is speaking to him. In Proverbs 8 and verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. This is wisdom talking. This is wisdom, the wisdom of God speaking. And notice this wisdom is connected with righteousness. The wisdom of the world has nothing to do with righteousness. But the wisdom of God cannot be separated from righteousness. Amen. Amen. He says, the wisdom of God, he says, I traverse the way of righteousness. I'll be found along the pathway of righteousness. So if we follow after righteousness, we'll also be walking in wisdom.
Amen.
Amen. And notice what he says here. He says, those who seek me diligently will find me. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Amen. Some people have hesitated to put those two words together, rich and righteous. But in the Bible, they can be combined. When we follow the wisdom of God, rich and righteous go right together. Amen. God wants you walking in righteousness. And God will also bless you and make you rich. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen. And it's enduring riches. You know, some folks get money and then they run through it and it's gone. But this is enduring riches. If you obtain riches through righteousness and through the wisdom of God, it'll last.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. Amen. And notice what he says here. He says, in verse 21, he says, I may cause those who love me, if you love wisdom, he says, to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Amen. God wants to fill your treasuries. The wisdom of God will fill your treasuries. This is the way, if you want to be wealthy, young people, listen, if you want to be wealthy, if you want to have plenty, follow God.
Amen.
Follow the wisdom of God. Start now. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So, there's several areas here as you study, and we don't have time to read the whole book of Proverbs, obviously, this morning. But as you study the book of Proverbs, you can find several different categories or areas where Solomon writes about the wisdom of God and how it touches the financial realm, how it touches the realm of money and wealth and prosperity. So let's look at some of those scriptures. The first category would be, of course, with tithing and with giving. And it's addressed here in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 3 and verse 9, look at this. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So that's talking about tithing there. Bring to God, give to God the first fruits of your increase. The tithe is the first 10%, first tenth. And I think that's significant. I think that's important. Sometimes folks say, well, I just don't have enough left over to tithe. Pastor, I would like to, but after I pay my bills and after I do this, I just don't have enough left over. Well, that's where the problem is. Tithing is not on what's left over. Tithing is the first fruit. If you'll take that first 10%, when you get your paycheck or you get your increase, whatever, however that comes in, then the first check you write, the first money that you set aside ought to be your tithe.
Amen.
Amen. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And I said, well, I don't know if I can afford to do that. Oh, I don't think we can afford not to. Look at what will happen as a result. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, this is the wisdom of God speaking to us. This is the wisest man on earth because he had prayed and asked God to give him wisdom and God gave him wisdom. This is him talking to us and saying, guys, if you want to prosper, if you want to be blessed, then honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase. And here's what's going to happen. It might not happen overnight. It might not happen in 1 week. But here's what you're going to experience if you'll make this part of your lifestyle. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Amen. In other words, you'll have abundance, you'll have increase because you honored the Lord because you put Him first. That's what He's saying. Look at this scripture, Proverbs 11, verse 24. He says, there is one who scatters or sows seed or gives, we could say. There is one who scatters, yet he increases more. Imagine that. He's scattering, he's giving away, but instead of getting less and less, he's increasing. There's one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. See, when you give, what happens? You have to open your hand, don't you? God can fill that hand when you open it.
Amen.
When you withhold, you're like this. God can't fill that.
Right. Amen.
Amen? One who scatters, yet increases more. There's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Verse 25. Brother Carl talked about it, the scripture in Isaiah. Here it is again, the generous soul. In Isaiah, it talked about the generous man. The generous soul will what? Be made rich. And he who waters, well, that, again, that's giving, will also be watered himself.
Amen.
Amen. This is the wisdom of God speaking to us. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Look at this one. It's out of the New Living Translation. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you.
Amen.
Did you ever think about that? Did you ever consider that? That when you give to help the poor, whether you're doing it through an offering here at the church or whether you run across somebody on the street that you want to help, however you do that, the Bible says, the wisdom of God says, when we help the poor, we're lending to the Lord. Now, when you lend money to someone, it means there's the understanding is, hey, I'm going to get this back to you. And a lot of times it's with interest, isn't it? So God says, hey, would you help this person right here? And then God says, I promise you, I'll pay you back. How many of you know God can't lie?
Amen.
Amen. When you help the poor, you're lending to God. And he keeps the record of it, Roy.
Yes.
All that you've done to help the poor. God keeps the record of it. And he's repaying you. Get ready.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You're lending to the Lord and he will repay you. That's a good deal, isn't it? Praise God. This is the wisdom of God. This is the wisest man on the earth telling us this. He was made wise by the wisdom of God. The second category, the second area, a lot of scriptures in Proverbs about this. We'll point out a couple. The power of our words, the importance. Proverbs is full of scriptures that talk about the importance of your words and how your words can either bring blessing or cursing into your life. Amen. Proverbs 14:12, this is out of the New International Version. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. What is the fruit of your lips? That's your words, isn't it?
Amen.
The words you speak out of your mouth, that's the fruit of your lips,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
From your words, you're filled with good things. So if you want your life filled with something different than what it's filled with right now, change what you're saying.
Right. Yep.
From the fruit of his lips, from his words, people are filled, a man is filled with good things, as surely, it says in the work, they must have revised the New International Version, because mine's reading different, a little bit different. As surely, it reads this way, just listen to this, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. Now, how many of you on your job, you expect a paycheck at the end of the week or every other week or twice a month, or once, however often you get paid. I mean, you expect that paycheck.
Yep.
How many of you know the day it's supposed to, you know, be the direct deposit in your account, or you're supposed to, you know, go by the office and pick up your check. However it comes, I mean, you expect it, don't you? Hey, glory to God, tomorrow's payday, you know. Don't you get excited about that? I get to tithe and I get to pay these bills and, you know, do this for my family. You expect that, don't you? Well, he says our words should work for us in the same way, and we should expect our words to work for us and bring provision into our lives.
Amen.
People are filled with good things by their words just as surely as the work of our hands brings reward to us.
Amen.
Just as surely. So we ought to expect, in the same way we expect that paycheck, we ought to expect that what we say out of our mouth is coming to pass, that God is bringing it to pass and filling our life with good things. You let your words work for you to bring prosperity into your life. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs 12:14 in the Holman, this is the Holman Christian Standard Bible, a man will be satisfied with good by the words of his mouth, and the work of a man's hands will reward him. Proverbs 18:20, New International, we'll try it. Hopefully it's the same here. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. I know what they did. They neutralized the gender in the New International Version. It says a man's. Now it says people in person. So we're including you ladies in here. We didn't want you to be left out. That's what they've done. All right. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. So your stomach, that's your most basic necessity, is eating, right? Well, it would apply to everything, every area in your life. If you want your life filled with provision, it comes from the fruit of your mouth. And with the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. Did you ever think about that your words, the words you speak are seeds that you're sowing? That's what the wisdom of God is telling us. With the harvest of their lips, they're satisfied. In other words, you're going to have, your life is going to be filled with the harvest from your lips. What you've been saying.
Amen.
Amen. Let that work for you, not against you. Amen. All right, the third area, and there's a whole lot of scriptures in Proverbs about this. The third area that he deals with is the importance and the value of work. Everybody say W-O-R-K. That is, I know it's a four-letter word, but that's not a dirty word. That's not a bad word. Work is a good word.
Amen.
I said work is a good word.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I saw 92 million Americans are out of the workforce right now. That's not right. That's not right. That has to change. That has to change. That's not a, we don't want our society and our culture going that way. Work is a good thing. Proverbs 14:23, in all labor there's profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Now, we make our words work for us. That's speaking words of faith on purpose, but idle chatter, it goes like this. Idle chatter is, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to do this, or one of these days I'm going to have this, or, you know, one of these days if I just get my big break, or one of the, you know, I'm going to, if I can just find enough investors that I'm going to get my project off the ground. That's just idle talk. And that only leads to poverty. Get out there and do something. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In all labor, there's profit. What's our opening text, our foundation text? I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Well, one of the ways he teaches us to profit is he says, hey, go out and get a job. In all labor, there's profit. Amen. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. You want to be rich? Be diligent. Having a slack hand means that you show up late for work every day, that you do your job halfway. You're going to become poor that way. But if you're diligent, if you show up, you know, 90% of it is if you'll just show up on time to work and you'll work with a good attitude. And you'll rise above 90% of the workforce today. Amen. The New Living Translation says it this way. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Proverbs 12, verse 11, the New Living Translation. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies has no sense. Let's go play the lottery. Hallelujah. All right. Proverbs 13. But if you win the lottery, make sure you bring your tithe here. All right. Can we have it both ways? I don't know. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. In other words, there's no get-rich-quick schemes. And if it is a get-rich-quick scheme, that's just what it is. It's a scheme. There's something dishonest about it. But if you gather by labor, you'll increase.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Be honest. Have integrity. That's what he's telling us. Look at this one last one here in this category. He says in Proverbs 13:23, much food. This is a very interesting scripture. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste. I want to focus on the first half of that verse in particular. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. Do you know what the term fallow, the word fallow means? It means uncultivated. It means a field that's not been plowed. It means a field that's just sitting there. It's not been touched. It's not been plowed. And the wisdom of God says there's a lot of potential there. That's what it's saying. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor. What we need to do is begin to cultivate the ground. What a person that is poor needs is not more food stamps. It's not another government program. It's not another government handout. What a person that is poor needs is to cultivate those skills and those gifts and the potential that they have within them.
Amen.
There's much food there. That's why we say it's a good thing. Okay, we can give people tools. You've heard this. Teach a, you know, give a person a fish. You've fed them for a day. Teach them how to fish.
Amen.
You've fed them for a lifetime. So what a person needs, what we need to equip people with are tools. Maybe they don't have the stuff to plow with. Well, we can help people get the tools. But we don't want them just lining up saying, okay, here's your daily portion. Now, some people might want that. Why? Because that's a good way to control people. Amen.
Yes.
But free people operate this way. Free people see the potential. Amen. That's there and say, let's cultivate those gifts. Let's cultivate those skills. Let's get some training and unlock some potential here, and that's how we prosper.
Amen.
Amen. Much food is in the fallow ground, the uncultivated ground of the poor. There's provision, there's prosperity in those skills that are yet to be cultivated and developed. But if we'll cultivate those skills and develop those skills in our lives, There's provision there.
Amen.
That's why it is good to go to school. Just go to the right one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Just go to one where they're going to cultivate those gifts and skills in you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. The fourth area here that we see, and there's a lot of scriptures. We're only going to look at a couple just for the sake of time. But managing money and avoiding debt. Solomon also talked a lot about that. Proverbs 21, verse 17. Look at this. This is, again, an interesting scripture here. The New Living Translation. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never be rich. Now, God wants you to have nice things. In fact, you know, there's a balancing scripture to that in 1 Timothy 6. It says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. God's not opposed to you having nice things. He's not opposed to you going on vacation and all that. But if you're spending all your money and all your time pursuing luxury and wanting nice things, you'll become poor.
Yeah.
If you want to live the lifestyle of the rich and famous before you have the money, then you're going to be poor. Well, we got to keep up with them. That's where they went on vacation last year. That's what they have. That's what they're driving. They built a pool. We got to have one. Well, if you have the money to do one, that's fine. But if you don't, if you're just trying to keep up, or if you're just pursuing pleasure, or if you just want luxury, he says you'll never be rich. Dave Ramsey points out that most millionaires, the cars that they drive are 2 to 3 years old. They don't drive new cars. Did you know that? 2 to 3 years old. And if you have a new car, we're not condemning you. And my new car is not a new car. It's actually 3 years old. But boy, I thank God for it every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Praise God. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Look at this. He says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Some translations actually use the word that's a little more harsh. They use the word slave. The borrower is slave to the lender. Well, we're not saying it's wrong to borrow money, but just be very, very careful about it. Amen? And there's a lot of scriptures in the book of Proverbs, search them out, that talk about managing your money wisely, talk about avoiding debt. This is all part of prospering. Well, I don't understand, Pastor. I've been tithing. What about managing your money? What about avoiding debt? Oh, well, no, I haven't done well on that. Well, these are all involved. Amen?
Amen.
They're all involved.
Yes.
Praise God. And then he talks about, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about balance in our lives. Proverbs 23, verse 4, look at this. He says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. So there's a lot of scriptures he talks about working And he talks about laboring, and he talks about hard work. But then he brings a balance. He says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. You know, there's a time to say, hey, I've worked enough today. It's time to go home. It's time to go and spend time with my wife and my children. It's time to do family stuff. Amen? And we need to have that balance. Look at the next verse. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. You ever heard that saying, the eagle flies on Friday? You know, they're talking about, there's, you know, the Allman Brothers, that was in one of their songs. The eagle flies on Friday. Saturday, I go out to play. Sunday, I go to church, Lord. Get on my knees and pray. Well, that's because he went out to play too hard on Saturday and didn't have, and everything. The eagle flew in on Friday, but flew out on Saturday. He's going to church on Sunday saying, oh, God, help me. It will sprout wings like and fly away like an eagle. Now, if you're pursuing, in other words, if you're just pursuing wealth, you're going to be disappointed. Pursue God, pursue the wisdom of God. He said, you'll find wealth and riches will come with it. Amen. You don't have to pursue it, it'll pursue you. Amen? Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Almost done here. Everybody, you still all right?
Yes.
See, your body only thinks it's 10:45. Somebody said, yeah, but my body came to church at 9 o'clock if you're counting that. All right, we're almost done. Proverbs 22, verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, riches, Proverbs also talks about, tells us what riches cannot buy. It says, it talks about that riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches can't buy life, the true life of God. But if you have humility and the fear of the Lord, you're going to have riches and you're going to have honor and you're going to have the most important thing. You're going to have the life of God. Paul wrote to Timothy and says that we can lay hold on eternal life. He says, command those who are rich in this world not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He says, command them to be generous, willing to give and to share, that they may lay hold of what is life indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. One last verse. Not just in this category, but the last scripture today. Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. See, God wants to bless you where you can leave an inheritance, where you know, he doesn't want you just to have enough to finish out your life. He wants you to have enough stored up, blessed so much that you leave some for your kids, and not only for your kids, but for your grandkids. Now, I was talking to, Rob and I were talking to a pastor and his wife down in Florida at Brother Randy's meeting back in January, and he was a little bit aggravated with his kids, and he says, I'm going to take this scripture literally. He said, now I love my grandkids. I'm going to leave an inheritance to my children's children. He says, my kids, they might not get anything. So, he said, I'm going to take that one literally. I think he means both generations. Hallelujah. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Look at the last of this. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Wow. And there's a whole other message in that. The Lord permitting, if he permits us to, we will get to that. I'm not sure if he will permit us to talk about that in this series, but if he does, we'll talk about that. Hallelujah. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So what's the most important thing then? Follow after righteousness. Follow after the wisdom of God. Jesus said it this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today.